Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Got a whole hour to hang out with you yet. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some fun stuff. We're going to get into our news, sports, and entertainment break a little bit later. Catch you up on our schedule. Get into some local good things going on this Wednesday. And how many cuts, scrapes, and bruises will you experience in your life? We will discuss.
An interesting number.
But an interesting conversation among actors and among people when it comes to acting and all that. Mm-hmm. I would say since I was a kid, Seth, is the biggest box office getter. The person has the biggest box office numbers to their career.
Sure.
When we were kids, to me, famously, I don't know if it was infamous or famous, but Harrison Ford was that guy. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford had the Star Wars series, had the Indiana Jones series, the Patriot games.
The Tom Clancy ones, yep, that's right.
Along with other hits of his throughout the years and everything.
Air Force One.
So what we're talking about here is the highest grossing lead actor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the years, Tom Cruise has really kind of gotten into that. Mm-hmm. He's made ground on Harrison Ford.
Right, sure.
And so in recent years, especially with the success of Top Gun, the second Top Gun, and the Mission Impossible movies and everything, I think most people would consider, whether you believe the numbers back it up or not, that's the biggest grossing box office star of all time, Tom Cruise. We're all wrong.
All wrong.
Because that's who I would have guessed. Sure. I would have said it was Harrison Ford or Tom Cruise.
That makes sense.
We're all wrong. It's Scarlett Johansson.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Scarlett Johansson has been named the highest grossing lead actor in Hollywood history.
Wow.
Thanks to the big opening of Jurassic Park Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And she surpassed two of her former Marvel co-stars to get there. Movies in which Scarlett played the lead or was part of an ensemble have made a total of $14.8 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Samuel L. Jackson was the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been obvious. The man is in a movie every month.
Right.
Like, that's literally.
Just by sheer volume, right? Yeah.
I think, and I've done this before, I can make an argument that's the hardest working actor of all time.
Man.
And
except for maybe Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts is a good one. There's other people that have longer IMDb pages. Right. Are one of our favorite character actors, the wonderful Asian actor who passed away a little recently.
Who's in
Big Trouble in Little China and so many great movies.
His name totally escapes me, and I hate that.
I think he even has the record for most amount of movies and such. There's a couple of actors in there that I would have thought of. But Samuel Jackson, like he is literally like he's working all the time and works so hard. I don't know. So Sam was there with 14.6, and then Robert Downey Jr. is third with 14.3.
Yes.
Scarlett achieved this feat with just 36 movies compared to 71 for Sam and 45 for Downey.
Wow.
And Downey is probably going to figure very head with he's going to be playing Dr. Doom and all this, so those numbers are going to rise.
So he will rise.
Yep. Whereas her character is kind of gone out of the MCU.
Yes.
So that
might. Unless they do an alternate dimension version, which could happen. We will see.
Nobody really dies on superhero movies.
No, they don't.
With the success of this Jurassic Park movie, guess what? They'll probably do another one.
Another one, so she'll be involved in that one.
But it's an interesting list. So looking at this, you got Scarlett number one, Samuel Jackson number two, Robert Downey Jr. number three. Number four, Zoe Saldana.
Avatar and Star Trek and of course the Guardians movies and all that. Totally makes sense.
And I wouldn't have, because so many of these movies she's in makeup and everything,
right.
I didn't even think about her. But
she's been blue, she's been green, she's been...
It's such a credit to her. And I don't say this very often. I even enjoy her commercials.
Yes.
Like, even her commercials.
She's even good in that,
Chris Pratt is number five.
Again, makes sense with all of the Jurassic World movies and, of course, the Guardians and the MCU. Yep.
And then Tom Cruise comes in at number six.
Okay.
Number seven for Chris Evans, Vin Diesel, Chris Hemsworth, and Bradley Cooper wrap everything up.
Oh, Bradley Cooper's kind of an interesting one. Yeah.
Looking at the wiki page of this, they have their films, the number of films they've done, their average, and the top grossing film they were in. For this top 10, it's either Avengers Endgame or Avatar. Yep. The only difference is Tom Cruise with Top Gun.
Yep.
That's the only change in all of these. Otherwise, it's all those.
Which makes sense. Now, I believe this is not inflation corrected. So my question is, corrected for inflation, what would be the most the money that's been made? That one I think would be more interesting, because you would have some older ones. Because, like, people forget, you know, when we see what's the biggest grossing film of all time? Well, inflation adjusted, it's still Gone with the Wind.
Yep. Yep.
From 1939, it still is. So, I mean, to me, that's a more interesting conversation than just, like, total dollars that they've brought in.
Well, look at, like, actors, and I'm not saying they would even be in the top 10 necessarily, mm-hmm. but a Spencer Tracy, a Cary Grant, actors that did so much work.
Yes.
So I would think that.
Constantly working. Yeah.
Just those, yeah. And a lot of high-grossing films. Yes. Jimmy Stewart, for God's sake.
Like, I mean, come on.
Oh, man, Jimmy Stewart may be the one. He may be way higher than I would have realized.
It's hard to, because I don't know how much money those Hitchcock films made, but man. Yeah.
And as far as all roles, and this includes cameos and voice acting, the number of films that a person has done, the highest grossing actor as far as that goes is Stan Lee.
Oh, Stan, you made it. Finally made it.
Stan Lee with 50 films. And of course, you know.
He was basically a cameo in every single one of them. Yeah, yep.
That's great. Even on this list, Samuel Jackson is number two. Like, even on that one. So,
always, you know, number two, Sam. What are you going to do?
Interesting, at number three, John Ratzenberger. Cliff from Cheers is number the third highest grossing actor of all time.
Every Pixar film.
Yep.
That, I mean, and so many of those have been gigantic hits. So, yep. Good for you, John Ratzenberger.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't. Now, I bet you Cliff would know that stat. Yeah. Cliff would know that stat at the end of the bar and drive Norm crazy with it.
You know,
it's a good one. The 40th anniversary of Live Aid is this Sunday. And if you want to relive the moment in music history, the official YouTube channel will be celebrating with over 10 hours of footage.
Mm-hmm.
A four-part documentary called Live Aid, When Rock and Roll took on the World, will also premiere on CNN at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. But you will not be seeing one band in particular, Led Zeppelin.
Mm.
The three-song set that reunited Robert Plant, Jimmy Page, and John Paul Jones was such a disaster that they've refused to let the footage be in. Page previously mentioned in a former interview that Phil Collins, who was one of the two drummers filling in for the late John Bonham, couldn't properly play the beginning of Rock and Roll, plus they got less than 2 hours to rehearse. Phil isn't too fond of the performance either. He says if he could have walked off, he would have, because he didn't feel needed and felt like a spare part.
Mm.
Which, as a side note, Phil Collins has one of the bigger egos in music history. And think about that sentence for a second, everybody.
We're talking rock and roll.
The first note played to now, that man has a top five ego of all time. So the fact that he wasn't featured or anything doesn't surprise anybody.
And now, to be fair to Mr. Collins, he did appear at both. The one at Wimbledon and the one in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He flew on the Concorde to be over there.
Yeah.
Jet lag, all that kinds of stuff, I'm sure played a part of it. They were not the only ones that had a bad set, though. Duran Duran's set was pretty horrible, too. I don't care. It's great stuff. By the way, I've got the entire set on DVD. The whole thing, including Led Zeppelin.
Nice.
So
nice.
I don't need to watch that. I got the whole thing.
I don't know if I've ever said this before about this band. This is one of those key bands in my life. Mm-hmm. My family, it's one of the few bands everybody in my family got along with and agreed on and everything. And I've never been more disappointed in them. I've never been more disappointed in that band. And especially Jimmy Page, who I know made the decision on this. There's no way you can tell me that Robert Plant had anything to do with that decision. Think about what it's about the moment. No, mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody was watching it and expecting musical perfection. If you've ever gone to a live show of anything and expected perfection, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Like,
it doesn't happen.
Doing?
It's not a thing. Yeah.
If you are a child and you've never seen a live act before, then okay. Right. Sure. But if you're a grown human being and you especially have seen live music before or know what the difference is between a recorded song and a live song, what are we doing? Like, now, I get it. Jimmy Page is notoriously insane about his perfection of his music and his legacy and all that. Does he understand that people have this already? Like,
Like I said, I just mentioned it.
telling you.
They released an entire DVD set of the both concerts, you know, in both countries. And it's all there already. I mean, what's the deal?
You could have such a great moment of, you know what, doing in the interview, you know, I really hated this. Everybody knows I'm Jimmy Page. I'm crazy about this stuff. But we felt so that this moment, it's bigger than us. What's happening right here is bigger than us. We just wanted to be a part of it. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. So even though I hate our performance, I still wanted to be a part. Think of the way that you could play this. Right. You could spin this. You could instead, you just look arrogant and childish. And I really would have hoped that Jimmy Page would have matured some in his age.
Yeah, but, apparently, you know, apparently not. So
it's a shame.
It's interesting to see. He seems to be one that's moved on the least from Led Zeppelin. Robert Plant has done so many amazing things since that band broke up. And, of course, John Paul Jones was already like a multi-instrumentalist genius. He's done tons of stuff since then, and he doesn't seem to really care about Led Zeppelin stuff anymore.
For the guy who was called a genius back in his Yardbird days, I don't know many people who have not lived up to that name like Jimmy Page. Mm-hmm. Like, his second act has been, what has he done? Where has he been? What has he done?
The most notable thing is he teamed up with Robert Plant.
Yeah, the no quarter thing, the whole unleaded thing that they did.
Yeah,
that's literally the biggest thing he's done since then.
Right.
Like everybody else has gone on to do great, do other things.
Really interesting stuff.
Still here with us and everything. Yeah. That's a shame. That's a shame. Especially, and I am doing these stories back to back for a reason.
Okay.
When you have people like Ozzy Osbourne, who many might not realize this, Ozzy takes his music serious. Mm-hmm. Takes his art serious. Really, really does. There's a great interview with Zakk Wylde about auditioning for Ozzy and the audition process that they had for guitarists, for musicians and everything. Especially considering you couldn't always count on Ozzy. So he wanted everybody else to be counted on.
Yeah, right.
He counted everybody else to be there. But this is a guy who could not be more, you know, this is me, take me as I am, all that, his whole career, his whole life. Well, Ozzy Osbourne took his final bow last Saturday from a bat-winged throne during the Back to the Beginning show with Black Sabbath. Great name, by the way.
The Batwing Throne.
10-hour event with 40,000 fans in their hometown of Brimington, England.
Oh, wow.
Ozzy's vocals sounded strong despite his Parkinson's battle. And the man is battling Parkinson's right now.
Yep.
But he was out there performing. He was out there. And I bet you it wasn't his favorite show he's ever done.
Nope.
Jimmy Page. So he's going through all these things, had a lot of physical setbacks. He remained seated throughout the show and still killed it. Still was amazing. Like, I've seen him live twice. Yep. And he didn't look that different. Like, he sounded great.
He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it that well if he didn't care.
Yeah.
He obviously cares about what his performance is like.
He told the crowd, quote, "I don't know what to say, man. I've been laid up for the last 6 years. You have no idea how I feel, how good this feels to be out here. From the bottom of my heart, you're all special. Let's go crazy and have some fun."
Perfect.
All four original Black Sabbath members reunited for the first time in 20 years. They performed a bunch of songs together, and I watched every one of them.
Nice.
Even though it was a short set, it was long enough for drummer Bill Ward to take his shirt off, which was interesting. I give him so much credit for that.
Hey. You could do, what are there, 60, 70 year old? Yeah. Let's do it. Whatever. Age, yeah. Man. Who cares?
That is awesome. Sid Wilson from Slipknot proposed to Kelly Osbourne backstage in front of Ozzy and Sheeran. They've been together for quite a while, too.
Okay.
And they're making it
official.
They do have a 2-year old already together, too.
Right, so yeah.
That's kind of cool. Sheeran says there's a band that she didn't want a part of the event because they wanted to make a profit. After the show, I'll let everybody know who it was. I still haven't heard. But she said there was one band in particular she did not want to be a part of it because all they wanted to do was make money off of it.
Mm.
And this was about Black Sabbath. And
it was about saying goodbye, yeah.
Jason Momoa was the master of ceremonies and did a great job. He was awesome. He came out there and I didn't even recognize him at first. He was really good.
Why is it not surprising to me that he's a Black Sabbath fan?
During Pantera's set, he jumped over the barricade and joined a mosh pit.
That sounds dangerous.
Very
for
dangerous.
The other moshers.
Yeah.
He's huge, man. I would run it because he'd knock you over without even trying.
Great picture. Look up Jason Momoa with his security. And it's just him with these guys that barely come up to his shoulders. Steven Tyler surprised fans and he performed Train Kept Rolling, Walk This Way, and A Whole Lot of Love.
Wow.
Other performers, Metallica did a great job. Tool, Mastodon, Anthrax, Tom Morello had a great set out there. But I have to give a special note to Jack Black, who went out there and did Mr. Crowley with Tom Morello.
Ooh.
And it was eerily beautiful to Ozzy's voice. Mm. It was so on point. It was an homage, and not trying to be an impersonation, not going full in on impersonation, but like. I saw it, and Jack's, you know, got the salt and pepper now with the beard and all that, and he's singing, and I'm like, oh, so that's what Jack Black was doing at 14.
Exactly.
Like, that's Jack Black at 14. That's him trying to mimic Ozzy's voice, trying to be Ozzy. It all makes sense when you see it. Like, everything you've seen about Jack Black all makes sense when you see him performing Mr. Crowley. It was awesome.
Can we ask more Jack Black and Tom Morello together?
Yeah.
Can they do something together? How awesome would that be?
They sound really good
together. That would be awesome.
It was a really fun one. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out, everybody. Yep. And I just thought it was we don't get to do this often. The greats, we don't get to say goodbye to them. They don't get to say goodbye to us very often.
Yep.
It's noteworthy when it happens.
I agree 100%.
I encourage everybody to get your tickets for West Side Story. It is premiering tomorrow. We had some of the cast in on Monday, and we're talking with them and Susan.
That was a great interview,
It was really fun. Great cast, great kids. And I mentioned before, you've seen West Side Story, you've heard about West Side Story, you've never seen it like this.
No.
When locals and local kids and everything, but having actual kids play these roles means something.
Right.
And it's an accurate way of actually doing it.
Because they're teenagers, right? Yeah. In the show, they're supposed to be teenagers. So.
They're going to get this better than most. They're going to be able to perform. All your favorite songs from it. It is going to be a fun show. Go there, see these kids, see Seth.
Yes, briefly.
Yes,
it's a small role, and that's all I need to do, because it's really about the kids. And I have to say, watching the growth through these last several weeks has been, it's always remarkable how people can pull together, especially young folks like this, and just create something. The rehearsal last night was really good. You know, we have our dress rehearsal tonight, going to be playing for a few people. They're going to be their first audience. And I know they're ready, and they're going to do a great job. So come on down for it, everybody.
Excited for these kids, the cast, the crew, everybody involved. Wishing them a great run, break a leg. You'll have great chances to see this tomorrow at 7, also on the 11th and 12th at 7, and then things will wrap up on the 13th with a 2 o'clock matinee.
Yes.
Taking as many shows as you can. They'll be taking place over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Head on over there, get your tickets, and otherwise you can go to wrctheater.org and get those tickets, everybody. Get on over there. And do that. Buy local, support local, support the arts. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you at 97.5 FM. Hope you're having a great Wednesday out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else ever wonder, like, man, you know, at this age, whatever age you are, how many cuts, how many bruises have you experienced already in your
goodness.
Life? And we're not talking about the ones that you don't even know about, like that bruise. And like, how did that get there? I could get bruised there. How did that happen? It's usually on my arm. So would you say you're more injury prone than most? Here's the average. A new poll by the brand, Band-Aid brand, Curad, found the average adult suffers 35 scrapes and bruises each year.
Okay.
And so we're injuring ourselves right around 3 times a month.
Okay. Well, it's not too bad.
Kids are even more injury prone, and when you count all of those old injuries, the study found the average American racks up about 4,000 cuts, scrapes, and bruises over the course of their lifetime.
Hmm. That doesn't seem so bad.
Doesn't seem so bad.
Over a lifetime, that seems all right.
The most I've gotten most of them out of the way. the most common reasons we injure ourselves are we get distracted or aren't paying attention, general clumsiness, and kitchen-related incidents.
Oh, we forget about those.
That made the top 3.
Yeah.
Like, dang, that's a lot of injuries in the kitchen.
Lots of sharp things in the kitchen.
That's a lot of ways
that can lead to lots of cuts. Yeah,
those are just the obvious ones. Like I have seen, I haven't worked a lot of fast food, but I saw somebody injure themselves with a lemon. a lemon squirted in their eye.
Oh my
and they
god!
Knocked over one of the burners,
and it was just
it was a nightmare.
Whoa,
it was a
nightmare. That's scary.
That just that. It wasn't anything sharp involved. We also have plenty of near misses. 80% have almost injured themselves while using their phone. 32% said it's happened while walking and texting.
Ooh.
24% while talking on their phone, and 19% while scrolling through social media.
Right.
You talk about
self-inflicted. It sounds
wounds.
Preventable, you know, and a lot of those are, and I'm sure they are. But at the same time, we've all been distracted by something at some point, and that's what leads to a lot of these injuries. Now, let's hopefully you're not doing it. Now, there are ways to very much prevent it, like in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do any of those things when you're in your car, right? Because you're in a piece of metal, lethal weapon that it can be with other people in pieces of metal driving around. So
getting too old for this.
Sorry. Nice.
I had to guess, very fair. Is anybody else also just blown away by the fact that we're even here in some ways? Because the number two thing that has injured us on this list is just general clumsiness.
Yeah.
And that's how common it is to just drop things or just walk into, like, clumsiness.
Right.
Is that big of a thing?
And I think a lot of the sometimes even more serious injuries are just due to some really weird, silly thing, right? You step wrong and all of a sudden you've wrecked your ACL or something like that. You tear your ACL just by you stepping awkwardly or something like that, right?
The the conversation of injuries in sports has just been getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we've noticed, or at least I think many of us have noticed, is the how many guys get hurt with non-contact injuries.
Yes.
And it's just them moving.
Yes.
And the ACL's gone.
Yep.
Your
Achilles is thing, or you bruise a bone or something like that. Yeah.
The poll found 1 in 4 people worry about other people judging them as weak or sickly if they have a Band-Aid on. That's interesting. But at the other end of the spectrum, 1 in 8 want you to ask about the injury. That's hilarious.
Isn't that the kid thing? That's why you wear Band-Aids to get attention. Apparently some people never outgrow that. That's interesting.
isn't that, that's not the per, I don't mean it's a perfect one or anything, but isn't that a wonderful microcosm of society?
Yeah, exactly.
Of people,
yeah.
How wildly different we are from person to person.
You're right, exactly.
There's the
infinite variety, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. And it's kind of funny to think that that's something you don't really necessarily age out of.
Yeah.
that's something that is still
if we examined ourselves, I'm sure we would find plenty of things that
that
don't make any sense. If it happened when I was a kid and I'm still doing it.
Yep.
It's like, why? Oh, I don't know, actually.
I don't know when it was, but I know it was incredibly young, very, very young, when I learned, I can just spin on my heel to get to this, or to move to the right, or move to the left, or whatever. I still do it, and it makes no sense. I don't think about it. I've been doing it for so long, it's literally just a reflex I do.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where my mom will just laugh at me sometimes, like, why are you,
we're just doing
the dishes in the kitchen, and you're just flying around like you're in an action movie. Like, what are you doing? Like, I can't help it.
Did you know that the kitchen's not a safe place?
Exactly. There we go, Mom.
There's injuries,
You wonder why I'm moving around over there. Like I'm moving around like I'm John Wick. It's because it's dangerous. I really, it makes all of this make sense. It's just, it's odd to see it all, the data collected together.
Right.
And then all of those factors, and then we go back to the beginning of only 4,000, the average. Like, that's...
That seems like it should be a lot more.
A lot higher.
And I'm sure there are people that have a lot more that happens to, and people has a lot less for whatever reason. You know, luck, I'm sure, has a part to play in it as well.
Well, I'm one of those people that is sneaky athletic. I don't think a lot of people might look at me and think of that, but there's not much I can't do on a court, on a spring, whatever those things go and everything. And at the same time, in my normal day-to-day life, I hit that 4,000 at like 15.
Yep.
I hit that a long time ago.
My sister.
I am hurting our average, everybody. I'm hurting our average.
My sister, a dancer, she grew up ballet many, many, many years, and she hurts herself in many and varied ways all the time because of her clumsiness. You figure it out. I don't know.
I'm never surprised by athletes getting hurt off in off-field issues or things like that when they cut themselves, you know, cutting up a watermelon or something
That.
I'm more surprised that it doesn't happen more often, especially after seeing this. Yes. We're lucky any of us are okay. We're just lucky to be here. Appreciate
such
life.
A dangerous place.
Appreciate life. We'll come back after the new sports and partner break here. I thought this is what it was. Yeah.
Yep.
This is the only time I'm playing this one, I'll tell you right now. This song, I can't handle this song. Played it too much, man.
I understand that.
We appreciate you joining us, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here. The unappreciative James of the hard work Seth puts into these bumpers. I apologize. I appreciate the work.
That's all right.
If you've got a corporate gig, 9-to-5 job, how much of your day is put into meetings? Would you say it's more or less than a lot?
Mm.
Microsoft has a new report out that claims office employees are interrupted by meetings, emails, and other work-related pings every 2 minutes.
Gosh, that sounds about right. Yeah.
They also say 60% of meetings are ad hoc, called to the moment. Mm-hmm. And because of all those meetings during the workday, they say there's been a 15% increase in the number of chats sent daily outside of work hours.
Hmm.
So even when you're not on the clock, getting a lot of these work
emails.
Still
doing work, yep.
Mm-hmm. And still working, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, nothing is going to convince the higher-ups to do away with insufficient meetings, but there are things you can try to make the most out of the time you have. One suggestion is to pick the time of day that you're most productive and block out that time ahead of time if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And for what it's worth, Microsoft claims this demonstrates a need for more artificial intelligence, but not to go to meetings for you, unfortunately.
Right.
The AI, quote, agents would be able to help you do your actual work tasks better and faster, mm-hmm. initially as your assistant, then as a, quote, team of agents. But, you know, that's another story and kind of a whole other conversation. I feel like all of these people have put so much money and time into AI, they're just forcing it on us. And they're just trying to find ways for us to shoehorn it into conversations and everything.
I still don't see what it can do other than it can do a few simple tricks, you know. Look, some interesting things, but
I'm sorry to whoever's in charge or the board of directors at Google, but that you wasted your money and time on AI, but quit shoving Gemini down our throats.
Yeah, please.
Nobody's asking for this. Nobody in society has raised their hand and said, hey, I want more AI, or I want AI to interfere with everything. You can't even search for anything anymore. I've stopped using Googler. I've just stopped using it pretty much.
Yep.
Because half the time, the reason for it initially was it's the quickest search response.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the quickest results of what you need right away.
That's why it became what it was.
Came out of that.
Because they figured out a way to do it so well that Google became Google.
Now I Google anything and an AI answer pops up right away that I only trust like 5% of the time.
Yeah, why would you?
So I've got to, even if it is correct, I've got to back up that information because I work in an information job. Kind of have to be accurate about these things.
That's right.
So I got to look at 3 or 4 different places anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even save me any time anymore or anything like that.
Right.
If anything, it makes me question even when the answer is right.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I got to look at it. So there's all of that. And I bring all that up in the context of meetings and emails and other work pings because our jobs have become that much more difficult and more to do as it is anyway.
Right.
And then you throw these things on top of it.
Right.
I would actually rather have more meetings than not if it means that we're covering more bases. And I think that you can, it's not a hard argument to make that it does more good than harm or any of those things.
Right.
At the same time, I'm not at the top of any chain and everything. So this is above my pay grade. The people way, way, way at the top are the ones that have to make those calls. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that have to make those decisions. And this is no different to me than the Rick Carlisle, the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, telling Tyrese Halliburton, no, you're not healthy enough to be out there.
Yep.
No, we have to think of the big picture. I know we're this close to winning a championship. And that means a lot to Indiana Pacers and the Indiana Pacer fans. But we got to think of the big picture here. and we're not even supposed to be here. We got to think about next year. We let you be healthy. Next year, we'll have a shot. They throw him out there. He's got 2 minutes out there, blows out his ACL. In Indiana now, they lose their second biggest player, and now they got nothing. Mm-hmm. Now they're looking at barely finishing at the bottom of the Big East, of the East.
Yeah, right.
This is an example I'm using of corporate world, of the corporate world.
Yes.
Yeah. And how much this can, the higher ups, it's your job to know if we have too many meetings or not.
Right.
You should be taking care of this. We shouldn't have to worry about these things.
Yeah.
We got enough on our plate. Yeah. That's why you hired us. Yes. To do these things.
To do these things, right.
And I'll be honest with the audience here. I can talk blasé about this because I don't feel like we do this at Civic.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I think we might have gotten close to this at a time. And mm-hmm. and I can say this because our owner was the one that came out and said this to us in meetings.
Right, right.
Worrying about this early on, mm-hmm. the early days of our company and everything. So I'm coming to this from at a spoiled perspective, mm-hmm. I think. But also, I think that we also have a very good example of this, of being in a young company, a company that was growing bigger and bigger overnight, mm-hmm. and you know, learning these things in real
time.
Along
the way, right. Yeah, yeah, 100%. So.
I don't know that there's a set amount of meetings that you should have in the corporate world and not go above or below it or any of those things. Mm-hmm. Every business is going to be different and every corporation needs to be different. I don't think people have problems with a lot of meetings. It's what are you talking about in those meetings?
Exactly. Is it a meeting that is constructive? Is it a meeting that everyone can come out of and say, you know, I've got a better idea of what I need to do now for this specific thing or whatever it is, or just, you know, general information kind of thing? To have meetings just to have meetings is a complete and utter waste of time. Unfortunately, I think in companies like Microsoft,
yeah,
there are people there that just do meetings.
Yeah.
And that's it. And what's the point of that person being there? And so you can see this a lot. The middle manager, you know, sorry, middle managers out there, I'm kind of targeting, you know, picking on you a little bit, but it's one of those things where it's like, why are you here? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you actually, you know, here to make the company better, you know, make it more profitable, whatever the goal is, right? Or are you just there to push paper around?
Yeah.
That's the question.
I'm sure I'm not alone in this one, but one of my bigger frustrations with the business world is that, you know, there are people like us that have only one speed. We work our tails off. Mm-hmm. We don't know how else to do it. Then there are people that seem to just, you know, skate by. And there are people that are just basically looking. They're that person you work with that they're leaning on the broom, but then the manager walks in the room. Oh, I'm sweeping. Sweep. This busy work. And yep. It just looks like that. And it's yep. like, man, you were just stealing money over there. You were just like, you really think that this is what we need or this is what's going on or something like that. And it's just, you can tell that they're just trying to show, hey, look, boss, I'm earning my paycheck. Hey, look, I'm earning my paycheck. And for meetings or things that just all they do is a hold us back. Mm-hmm. They're keeping us from doing our job.
Yeah.
They're keeping us from doing our job well.
Yeah.
That is frustrating. And I actually see this so much more in friends of mine in industries that they're in.
Yeah.
That I am barking for them. I don't, or even old me that was in this. I'll say this. I hope it's changed since I was there. The hotel industry used to do this, where like we were having meetings, and I'm like, this doesn't even like I don't know what we're. This doesn't even have to do with hotels. I don't know what we're doing here.
But
they were, you know, corporate things and stuff, and you had to do. I hope that. You know, one thing that I think that is going to about this, it has to improve, whether the corporate world wants it or not, whether we as people want it or not, or anything like that. It's only getting harder and harder for the employee and business world to merge and to build that bridge stronger. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of people right now that have had power their whole lives and grown up with in a privileged world that are freaking out because they've lost a smidgen of power, a tiny, not even a percentage of power, and they're freaking out over it. So, we're going to be even harder employees. And, you know, the article we did the other day about businesses coming out and saying, our job's hard, and you know, we want you to be obsessed with the job. No work-life balance. Get out of here with that. You see how they're pushing back. You
uh-huh.
see how they're yep. fighting this. They're trying to do that while also separating us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the name of the game, people, whether we're talking politics or business. Separating the little man, separating the people on the lowest level, separating them and dividing them.
Right.
Hey, you guys shouldn't agree with each other. Hey, what's the quickest way to keep the poor down, the quickest way to keep people down? And just separate them. Separate them. It's war 101.
Right. You know what? There's more of us than them.
Yep.
And that's what they're scared of. You're absolutely right. That is a very real thing they're trying to do, because they know that if we all got together, we would be calling the shots, not them.
There is a rash, and this is happening a lot in the white community, where you have a big civil war going on with that right now, where there's a lot of people in power and a lot of people that they've been in power their whole lives, and their family has been in power their whole lives, and they got neighbors and friends and family that are not in power, that are sitting where we are,
and
everything, and they're like, wait a minute, what about
us?
Yeah. All this stuff and everything, and then you've got this push and pull going on with that, and that's just that.
Yep.
Like, I mean,
and then all the other different things. Yeah, exactly.
And guess what has developed from that? This idea of separating race and creed and, and religion and separate and all that and those things. And you continue to see that. And all of this because we got too many meetings.
We blame meetings.
Maybe it's not because of that.
No, meetings could be fine.
We got to blame it on something. It's interesting. What's more interesting to me than this article is what comes from this article,
right,
and if anything comes from it, if anything changes at all or not. I did want to get this out there from our good friends over at the Wood County Parks Department and, of course, our Grand Rapids Police Department. In keeping with the best interest of public welfare and safety, the town of Grand Rapids Ordinance 35 has been enacted for the following boundaries of Lake Wasatcha, effective immediately July 17th through 9 o'clock on July 20th.
Right.
The purpose of this partial lake closure is to ensure safety conducted by the Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Tournament.
Yep.
So we, of course, want to everybody to keep that in mind.
Yep.
I don't know how you will miss it.
It's a big deal, right? Yeah.
It's a big one. It's one of the biggest events of the year, if not one of the, I would say Cranberry Blossom Festival and this are probably our two biggest signature events.
I would say big summer events,
Summer events, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this marks the 59th annual Wisconsin State Water Ski Show Championship, hosted by the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers. Shout out to them.
Okay.
You're going to have a fun time coming up on July 17th, everybody. Sunrise to sundown over at Southwood County Park. It's going to be a good time. We'll talk more about it as we get closer to it.
Nice.
But want you all to be able to make plans, and it's a good way to give you a heads up. We'll take a timeout, get to our partner break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show for the day. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you, take you to the top of the hour. Got great programming on your radio dial throughout the day. We're going to get into some of that right now. Want to encourage you to check out the Rapids Report at WFHR.com. It is there for you. It's our podcast that we put together, our old midday magazine show that we do. We got some great guests on there for you, some past guests that we encourage you to check out. And today we're going to have new episodes featuring our good friends, Family Natural Foods. Stephen and Katrina Hittner are going to be with us.
Nice.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And we will also be talking with Lily from the 19th Annual Wood County Master Gardeners Walk.
All right. Ooh, very cool.
We talk to them every year.
We do.
And good to have them on the air with us. That's going to be a fun interview. Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight. Leading into that will be some hockey talk. We actually got a couple of great playmakers lined up for you in the next week or so. Mm-hmm. Today, join us for Playmakers 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. It's your sports call-in show brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Today, Michael Comer, sports director around here, going to be joining us. And Michael and I will be talking in the fourth period with Coach Paul, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings.
Nice.
Looking forward to that. Next Monday, this coming Monday, I should say, we'll have a new episode of Meet Your Rafters.
Nice.
The boys got a day off on Monday, so we're going to have a couple of Rafter players in. I was talking with Jake about it, and we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. So great shows lined up coming up and everything. Got ticket giveaways. We got Rafter tickets we're going to be giving away in every Playmakers episode from now to the end of the season.
Nice.
Be listening for that. And, of course, the Rafters are in action tonight. I got a doubleheader.
They got a doubleheader today. Yeah, they do.
An Ernie Banks special, 11:50 a.m., the Rafters. Kick off against Fond du Lac, and then when that game ends at 6:20-ish, we're hoping for that second game to play.
Yep.
Both right here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Very excited about
that. Good old classic day-night doubleheader. Love it. Yeah.
Seth, it's a Wednesday. We know what that means.
Bingo!
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 Bingo! Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Join them at 4:30 West Jackson Street when their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Buy local support. Local support our Elks Lodge. They do so much good in this community.
They do.
Appreciate them. Hope everybody wins today.
Yes.
And we want to let everybody know tomorrow, Seth, got some fun stuff going on.
Why? The Farmers Market will return once again, everyone, down on First Avenue South along the beautiful Wisconsin River. Of course, it's open every Thursday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. through October 11th. Head on down there. I have seen, it seems to me, now I may be wrong on this, every time I've gone by it this year, that place is jumping.
Jam-packed
full of people. Lots of vendors. It's as busy as I think it's ever been. So head on down there, everyone. Lots of great stuff happening down at the Downtown Farmers Market every Thursday from 8 to 1 and the same on Saturday. And while you're down there, go head on over to the Moravian Church. Bring your books, everyone. We are collecting books for the fall book sale that we have, or the community book sale at 310 First Avenue South. That's on the parking lot just off of Goggins by the glass doors. We'll be accepting those books through September 15th. For the book sale from October 9th through the 11th. And remember, all proceeds go to scholarships for Mid-State.
I was thinking the same thing. So I usually pass the farmer's market on Saturdays.
Okay, yeah.
And it looks like it's gotten bigger than it's ever been.
It really seems that way. Really, I don't know if it's true, but that's what it seems, yeah.
Check it out today, everybody, the farmer's market. And be sure to make plans tomorrow to head to Lunch by the River.
Woo!
Their sponsors this week are Nicolay Staffing and Wood Trust Bank. Of course, a shout-out to their Royal Flush sponsor, Crockett Septic. That's such a great name.
I love that.
And they're going to have some great food down there, Chatterbox, Jamaican Kitchens, a bunch of great ones, something for everybody. The entertainment, Lincoln High School Mariachi Band.
Oh, I love the fact that our high school has a mariachi band. I just love that.
And they're really good.
It's true.
Very talented. Be sure to check that out.
Yep.
Lunch and a show you've got with Lunch by the River, 11:30 to 1 tomorrow over at beautiful Veterans Memorial Park. Join us all summer long over there, everyone. Mm-hmm. And be sure to make plans for the Wood County Veterans Expo that is coming up July 23rd from 9 to noon over at Crossview Church. Join the Toma VA Medical Center and the Wood County Veterans Service Officer for a great conversation about this and an opportunity to ask questions about your benefits or your significant others or your relatives' benefits or something like that. Getting this information out there should be the job of every citizen.
I agree.
Every one of us should be making sure that every veteran in our life, every person in our life that has any military, even if they're just an enlisted soldier, still knowing about these things and being up to date on this
These are very important because they change a lot, too. That's the other thing. Keeping them up to date on all the new information is very important.
Shout out to our good friend Tom Heiser and everybody involved with this, and Tom getting us that information.
We do.
I got some good stories of the day we're going to get to here. A 72-year-old woman in Montana got pinned under her riding lawnmower when it tipped over, but two 14-year-old boys saved her life.
Wow.
She got pinned under the side, not the blades, but she lives on a lake in a remote area, and no one else was there. She was stuck for about 4 hours.
Yikes.
She says she felt like she was on her last breath when the two boys went by on their fishing boat and saw her. It took five people to lift it off, but she spent 4 days in the hospital with a bruised rib cage and fractured spine, but she is okay.
Oh.
It is a beautiful story.
Yes.
Shout out to those strangers, those kids helping. That is you know, anytime you worry about the youth or things like that, or people or society in general, there are a billion stories like this that we don't even cover. You know, that are going on, happening every day that nobody even knows about.
Yep, simply being human. Yeah,
I will say, and this is not me saying a message straight to my father, who just turned 70, which is just mind boggling to me. We want you to be active. We want you to be doing things. There are some times where it's good to have another body, a spotter, as me and my dad call it, a spotter around.
Exactly, yes.
And this lady might not have even had a chance. She lives out in the middle of Montana and everything.
Right.
Just a credit to her at that age doing that, but also, you know, hey, somebody help her out. Somebody give her a hand.
It's a reminder that even something as simple as mowing the lawn can be dangerous. Just keep that in mind, everybody.
Yeah. I encourage, especially this time of year, kids in your neighborhood go around asking to mow lawns, get a couple bucks, and you help out one of our seniors out there.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Would any of your coworkers do this for you? A firefighter in Ottawa is recovering after another firefighter he works with gave him part of her liver. She told a reporter that the rule of firefighters is no one gets left behind.
That's nice.
Man, I love
firefighters. Wow, that is a great story.
I love firefighters. Yes. That's just a cool story. I don't know that... Seth and I share a brain already, so I don't know that we need to share livers. I don't know that we
I think
need
we're
to
close enough
that.
Now,
we're,
James.
Yeah, I think we're good. And how is this for a tribute? BBC News did a story on a heavy metal guitarist named Mark Wood, who honored his late father by adding some of his ashes to the fretboard of his guitar.
Oh, wow.
He turned the ashes into jewels and added them as an inlays on the neck of his Fender Telecaster.
Wow.
His dad taught him to play, and he was his biggest supporter. He says he did it so he'll always be on stage with him.
Oh, that's a nice story. That's very sweet.
It's a very cool story.
Yeah.
It's we've heard of things like this before with ashes or being turned into this. There's a lot of companies out there that turn ashes into this or that or whatever.
Right, right.
I've never heard a story like that. And it has such a chance of being very like, oh, yep. I don't know about that.
Right.
But boy, it's something about it just brings it home. Like,
right.
It's like, yeah, that's very pretty darn cool. Yeah. That's just a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, again, another good story is going to be ready for you coming up. We've got, I wanted to mention this. Sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Also, make plans. 1 o'clock, Cowboy Union Jam going to be in McMillan Library.
Yes.
There's a good story.
Always a good story. They're awesome.
They're a great band. Be sure to check that out and check out some of the other great shows that they got over at McMillan. Coming up tomorrow, they'll have the feature of the Central Wisconsin songwriters genius L.J. Booth and the amazing Chris Kokesh. They're going to be there.
Yes.
On July 24th, Ron McKay's going to be there.
Very cool.
They got a lot of great things going on over at McMillan. Be sure
always
to check
got
that
some good
out,
stuff.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Always a good story of the day over there.
Yes, it is.
Great show today, Seth.
You too, man.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you soon and later right here.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.